Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to complete our study of Peter at the Transfiguration. We have come down to Mark chapter 9 and verse 10, and that is after this transfiguration had taken place. And Jesus is coming down from the mountain with Peter and James and John. He says that Mark 9:10, and they kept the saying, questioning among themselves what the rising again from the dead should mean. Let me read to you Elam's notes on that verse. They did not understand what this vision meant, and questioned among themselves what the rising of the dead should mean. After Jesus arose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sent down the Holy Spirit upon them, they understood clearly everything Jesus had done and taught. Then they told it to everybody, from Peter, James, and John, who witnessed it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who recorded the transfiguration, would have learned it. But there's another place we need to go to complete this study, and that is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to take you there in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And that Sunday school lesson we're looking at today was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of April the 24th, 1927. Now let me read to you the rest of this story about the transfiguration in 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 18. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there was born such a voice unto him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we ourselves heard, born out of heaven, when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Here's Elam's notes concerning what Peter wrote. Peter delighted to refer to the Transfiguration. It made a lasting impression upon him, and he understood its import. "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty," he writes. He said he received from God the Father honor and glory, which was born from the voice, from the majestic glory. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He goes on to say, "We have this word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The word of prophecy was always true and sure, but God's voice here pointed Jesus out more specifically and directly as the antitype of Moses and the Son of God in fulfillment of old prophecy. Well, on the way down from the mountain, it says, "And they," Peter, James, and John, "asked him, saying, How is it that the scribes say Elijah must first come? The scribes were teachers of the law and the traditions of the elders, and said that Elijah must first come before the Messiah could appear. They based this conclusion on the Old Testament prophecies in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, in that last verse, Malachi 4 and verse 5. The meaning of this question seems to be that since Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, whom they must hear, how then can it be true that Elijah must first come? Or as some say, the appearance of Elijah in this vision was the coming of Elijah. Then why did he not stay? Jesus replied that it was true, that Elijah must first come, and shall restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elijah is come already, and they, the scribes, knew him not, but did unto him whatsoever they would. Then understood the disciples that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:15-17. They did to John whatever they would. They imprisoned him, and they beheaded him. Even so shall the Son of Man also suffer of them, Matthew 17:12. As our lesson says, it was so written that the Messiah should suffer these things. Now that brings us to the end of that Sunday school lesson, except right at the very end, there's this poem by Ralph Wardlaw. King Jesus, reign forevermore, unrivaled in the courts above, while we with all the saints adore the wonders of thy redeeming love. No other Lord but thee will know, no other power but thine confess, will spread thine honors while below, and heaven shall hear us shout of thy grace. We'll sing along the heavenly road that leads us to the blessed abode, till with a vast unnumbered throng we'll join in heaven's triumphant song, till with pure hands and voices sweet we cast our crowns at Jesus' feet and sing of everlasting love in everlasting strains above. I turn the page in this old Sunday school book, and I come to another Sunday school lesson, this one written and prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May 1, 1927. That's the day we now call, and would have called then, May Day. It's about Peter's denial and repentance. And the text is Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 54, and then Mark 14:66-71, and then Luke 22:61-62. Let me read to you Mark 14:53-54. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And there come together with him all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter had followed him afar off, even within, into the court of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself in the light of the fire. Mark 14:66-71. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou also wast with the Nazarene, even Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him, and began again to say unto them that stood by, This is one of them. But he again denied it, and after a little while again, they that stood by said to Peter, Of a truth, thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean. And he began to curse and to swear, I know not the man of whom ye speak. Luke 22:61-62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto them before the cock crow, This day thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The golden text is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, the additional material for the teachers is found in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting without the court, and the maid came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And he was gone out into the porch. Another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a little while they stood by, came and said to Peter, Of a truth, thou art also one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. Then began he to curse and to swear, I know not the man, and straightway the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words which Jesus had said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson is the 51st Psalm. The inscription here is for the chief musician, a Psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done that which is evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the inward part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be comforted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou delightest not in sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then wilt thou delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, and burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then will they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Well, this is a Sunday school lesson about Peter's denial that's going to take place in Jerusalem, right in the high priest palace. And Jesus had told Peter, after Peter said, I would die for thee, Peter told Peter, before the cock crow, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter could not believe it at the time, but later it came to pass, just as the Lord had said. He knew Peter's weakness, and knew Satan desired to shift him, but our Lord would not let Satan have him. Peter repented.